5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Stamp, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again! He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyreek Cleveland, how about? I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
Hello, Tori.
And your boy Jay Scott 2-5. What it do, y'all boys?
What up, 2-5?
Yes, Lost sir.
Hey, Silk took the keys. Look at that view.
Big money over there, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, Dan sent me a college from Germany today. Our boy is living his best life. His haters will say that ICE got him, deported him, but he is just living his best life, eating ceviche in Spain, eating sausages, paws in Germany. I don't know what else they do there. But shout out to Dan. He'll be gone for a couple days. Shout out to Dan for missing the game Saturday. But we'll get to that.
Yeah,
Corey?
Bless him. I wish I would have missed it.
Everyone, how was y'all's weekend? Corey, you can start. How was your weekend? Look at that view.
Pretty solid, man. Just, you know, a whole lot of just work, man. You know, podcasting, NIL, just, you know, vlogging, shooting things. But just been work. And then watching my team get dragged by Tennessee, man. Outside of that, man, everything was beautiful. How about y'all boys?
Yeah, man, it was a pretty, you know, sad weekend for me, man. Just watching the boys go down like that in that sort of fashion. Tough weekend. But it was just normal family vibes for me. Nothing too crazy.
Yeah, we had a couple events with Florida Victorious. Shout out to Bree Wade, really did a good job with those. Brought our bourbon to the tailgate for the first time. Mm. I've never been asked so much if I could just bring the bourbon to people throughout the game Saturday for the way that it was going, but that was good. And then it's Florida State Hate Week. We'll have another one tuned up, but we'll touch on the game here to start. Not a ton. You said you watched it, Corey.
What was that?
You said you watched the game?
Of course I watched. Yeah, I watched. Unfortunately, I had to watch it, man. I turned it off a little early because it just got too bloody, man. I can't watch my team take an L like that, man. One of the worst L's I've seen as a Gator fan, but it is what it is. It was what it was. I think this is a week, you know, coming up that we can bounce back, you know, versus a struggling program like Florida State. Very happy that they're keeping Mike Norvell. You know, that's the best news that I got, you know, since, you know, this season is Florida State's retaining him for another season. So tough game to watch in every aspect, bro. We never got it going. You know, first time we get the ball, it looks like we're marching down the field. We get a holding call after a big game, a pass from DJ Ladd to Jaden Barr. And it looked like we never rebounded from that play, you know, the rest of the game. So it's an ugly affair in every aspect, defense, offense. We didn't do anything well.
Yeah, it was I'm going to go ahead and say I've seen some bad games. I think that might have been the worst. Definitely the worst Florida-Tennessee game I've ever seen. And, like, so over so quickly. I'm looking at the drive chart. Florida wins, defers. 9 plays, 75 yards, 3 minutes, 32 seconds, 7-0. Florida has the ball, 3 yards, minus 10, or 3 plays, minus 10 yards, only hold it for 2:42. 3 minutes and 13 seconds later, 7 plays, touchdown, 14-0. Another 3 and out, 6 minutes later, 21-0. I'm just like, oh, it's over. By the second quarter, the game was over, and it was just like a bloodletting the rest of the way.
Yeah, man, it was tough to watch, man. And I honestly watched, like, hard through the first half. And then once it got to, like, the middle of the third quarter, the end, I got to just doing other things around the house. The game was still running, but I wasn't as locked in anymore. But even just watching this for the first half, man, I think we were, 0-5 on third down going into the half. Like, that is just not good ball to play, man. Good offensive ball, good football in general. So that was a tough one to watch, just overall, just watching the guys struggle on offense and like not being able to move the ball or sustain a drive for real. So
yeah, 0-5, you're right on third down. And I had a question for you as a former player, because I've talked to a couple former players, won't say who, but as a former player, and I mean, you've gone through a season where like a coach got fired, and we've talked to you about like, hey, what happens when you lose a coach and keep your direction, keep the momentum if you can. But as a former player, what is it like to watch that? Like, it's Florida, Tennessee. This is a huge game. It already felt weird being late in the year. But I talked to some former players who were not happy with what they saw Saturday night.
Yeah, man, I think just watching that game just as a former Gator, you know, it kind of just hurts because it kind of almost makes you feel like these guys aren't really playing for your brothers, or you're not playing for the logo. You feel me? It's like you really don't even care at this rate. You're comfortable with just going out in that fashion and just getting beat on for real all game. Like, obviously, I've been in their shoes as well. I've been on a part of some bad losses, so I get the point of like they're not necessarily trying to do it, but it's just hard to kind of watch that and think that they're not giving their best efforts. You know what I'm saying? Especially from what we've seen in other games, we've seen them be able to go up against better opponents and give a better game. So I think just us as the viewers are just looking at it as like, wow, what's going on here? Are the guys really locked in, or is the season just over because we know we're not bowl eligible and you're just giving up on a big rivalry game that's like Tennessee, you know what I'm saying? On your home turf on top of that, knowing that they haven't beat us in the last 10 years in the swamp. Like, you would think you can try to fire up something in the room, you know, to get the guys going. Like, that can be a good pitch, you know, because the reality is the season is over. Like, we can call a spade, you can win these last two games, and that wouldn't have meant it would have meant something for the logo, yeah, but it wouldn't have meant anything in the grand scheme of bowl eligibility, anything that really matters for this real season. So I think that's what, and we have a really young team, you know. I mean, that's another thing. It's not really much veterans in the locker room to kind of bring everybody together and be like, hey, this is a game we fight for, and this is a game we kind of, you know, take it to that next level because we playing for the Gator pride. You got a lot of young guys who are still learning that process, so I think that's what we got to see.
Yeah, I was hoping that maybe, you know, Caleb Banks could, like, rile these guys up with him coming back from injury. That was my hope, right? Just didn't see it. It didn't have a rivalry feel to it from the gate. It just looked like Tennessee had more energy. They got more to play for. The season's over. It's a wrap. It's just what it is, man. It's unfortunate. This has been the lowest of lows under Billy Napier's tenure. You know, we've reached, you know, ending streaks, you know, all-time lows. Just, you know, offensive numbers in every perspective, it's just been all-time lows, bro. So it's lining up for something big to happen, you know, hopefully for our end, right? But, yeah, the season's over. I hope that they got these guys come in with some fight next week for the Florida State game, you know, because that's another rivalry with back-to-back. Did feel weird playing Tennessee in November. Like, that's new to us. So that felt weird having rivalry games back-to-back weeks, you know, true rivalries like Tennessee and Florida State back-to-back. So that's a new thing. But it's a wrap, man. You just hoping these guys come with some pride to close out the season in some type of capacity. But the season's over, man.
Yeah, I think Jordan, it was 10 straight, but Tennessee hadn't won in Gainesville since 2003. Wondering if you were alive.
I am damn near not.
Jordan was in diapers the last time Tennessee won in Gainesville.
Still peed on myself around that time. Maybe not.
I want to go through a couple of the highlights. Jaden Baugh, again, as the only prediction I made for the entire season was Jaden Baugh to get 1,000 yards. We are 96 away from me being 1-for-1 on season predictions. What do you think? I don't want to call people out for like not effort or anything like that, but that's something that I'm getting mentioned a lot. People just like heaping praise on Jaden Baugh, just the way that he has run and the way he's continued to carry himself. We'll start with Jordan. Jordan, as a running back, especially when you see that room we're talking about, like Treyon Webb hasn't played at all. Jacoby Jackson only played 4 games. You've lost a bunch of guys there. What have you seen from Jaden Baugh? And then what did you see for him? I think that the scoring drive, the playbook was like Herman Boone from Remember the Titans. It was just like, hey, we got 4 plays, and 3 of them are to run the ball with 13.
Right. I just believe, man, the running back position is always has been like a workhorse position. And I think he defines that, man. He's a guy that no matter how the game's going.
Oh. He's stuttering to the line there.
Oh. We got a little bum on internet, man.
Well, yeah, my land cable came out for a second. I'm good.
You're back now.
Yeah, I just feel like, yeah, man, he's been always doing that in a good fashion, man. Like I said, I feel like he's been showing that he's been a great workhorse around how he's getting the ball. He runs tough and runs hard, and, like, that's just kind of what you want out of a running back, you know, no matter what's going on, whether it's a win or loss. We have tough losses we're going through, and he's still running like a wild man, like the game is on the line for a game-winning touchdown. So, and I think it also works out in his favor, right? He's having a great career so far. He's honestly building the legacy with, like, let's be honest, in the last how many years have we probably seen a great running back as him come through there? And I'm speaking out myself as well, who's been there through the last 10 years. Like, he's a beast. So he definitely should keep that up, man. He's on the march for some great things.
Yeah, I think it's good, man. So the last 1,000 rusher we had was Kevin Taylor. So it's been a while. So I think he has a goal still. Like, most of these guys don't have a goal to chase. You know, there's no bowl eligibility. They don't have any pinnacle stats to hit or anything like that. So he still has a goal to hit. I'm pretty sure he's itching to hit that 1,000-yard mark for, like, several reasons, man. You know, NIL, checks, and, you know, all of that type of stuff. It's just good for him. So that's the one thing I'm cheering for, you know, him getting that 1K. You know, he deserves it. He's a kid that's just locked in and focused and a team guy. So I'm happy to see Jaden be able to get the opportunity to get to 1K, man.
Yeah, I remember from your lips to God's ears. And Scott, well, first off, Scott, as always, first one in. Go Gators. Scott, I know you're here every week. I know you listen intently, but I certainly didn't say that. I certainly only said one thing. Scott listens to a lot. He's probably mixing me and Corey up because the resemblance is there. maybe the other gray beard made that prediction. I only said Jaden Baugh. That was my only one prediction for the whole year. I wanted to get back to DJ because I think we're seeing him play better. That one run he had, I think that's his longest career run. It was like 36 or 38 yards. He starts the game. I remember you tweeting about it, Corey, like during the game. It was like the play calling just like never rebounded from that one holding call. Like Austin Barber gets called for holding. His second play of the game goes for 40-something yards, lagway to ball, and then just like after that it was it. But they do some more of the design runs this week. There was one that was crazy. I can't remember. It was like first and 10. They just like ran QB power. It mm-hmm. doesn't go anywhere. And then you're like almost in your mind, you're watching that and you're like, all right, this drive's done. Like the first play didn't work. Drive's done. Get Trey Smack ready. Warm up that leg. But what do you think from DJ's performance? I got his quarterback chart here. Looking at the quarterback chart, Joey Aguilar started 10 of 10. DJ finishes 11 of 17. 116 yards, one touchdown, no picks. Added some rushing yards. What do you think from DJ?
Yeah, I think he's sort of improving, man. I think he's just improving in a fashion that he's trying to take care of the football. You know, he's learning to kind of use his legs. But I definitely would want to see a little bit more of him pushing the ball downfield and being able to be a little bit more efficient. But then again, like we said, he's trying to protect the ball. So if that's what it looks like in his process, I'm here to live with it. Obviously, been hearing some like rumors and stuff about him looking to leave, and also been seeing some things of him like reasserting that he's comfortable here and he's staying. And he wants to be a Gator. So I know a lot of people checked out on my boy, but I mean, I'm not trying to go shopping anywhere else. If we're being completely honest, keep me right here with Lagway. I know what I'm getting. He's not a terrible, terrible guy. I think he's just in a terrible system. I think if he gets in a better system, I think we can honestly see better strides out of him, to be honest.
Jordan's out here shopping for offensive linemen, not quarterbacks.
Straight up.
No, for sure. I think he's a quarterback for the future, for sure. I think he's comfortable at the school. He loves Florida. I know there's some questions out there on social media about, does he want to be here? He looks, disengaged. But it's just not factual. I think all the players are struggling with what this season is. But DJ, he seemed to look like he was pressing less this week. I do like when they have the design runs, but the offensive crew is just not talented enough to overcome holdings. Like, once we get in a deficit and we get behind the chains, it's a wrap. Like, we're just not going to overcome that. And hopefully we can stay ahead of the chains next week dealing with Florida State. But it's just something that this offensive staff and the guys that are calling plays right now, I tweeted this out. Like, we was wondering why nobody else, Billy wouldn't let anybody else call plays that's in that offensive staff. I guess we're starting to find out now why. Like, he pretty much was the smartest guy in the room with the way some of this is playing out. But DJ is playing a little better. I like that he wasn't turnover prone this game. Hopefully he just improved. Like, we got to take the little small improvements. We just got to take them, bro. It's like, that's just what it is this season. We're not going to get any big victories or any big wins, go to a bowl game. We're looking for a coach for a reason. But I thought he improved from week to week. As a guy that missed most of the offseason, no camp, that's what we learning, bro. There's no mental reps. That's what I learned from this season. Mental reps is not a thing.
Yeah, I was listening to Billy Gonzalez's press conference today, and that's something that stuck out to me. He was like, yeah, we got behind. We literally can't. He's like, we can't get behind. And I'm like, you got a really good quarterback and some really good receivers. I know a bunch of them are out, but like, this is an offense that should be able to. I think he's right. Like you just said, Corey, like Florida can't get behind. They're not built to come back from behind. I know Dallas Wilson's out, Trey's out. The season is what it is, kind of beating a dead horse at this point. But that was probably as disheartening of a performance as I've felt in a long time sitting there in the Swamp watching it. Shout out to the fans, though. The Swamp was packed. I know Ole Miss fans were tweeting at me, what does it look like? It was packed for the first half. Honestly, a lot of people stayed just to sing Tom Petty. After Won't Back Down, a lot of people didn't back down, but they just bellied up at the bar, I think. A lot of the student section didn't back down. It was fun, but then also someone painted this to me. So, like, it's been going crazy on TikTok, everyone taking their shirts off in a section and, like, waving their shirt around over their head. Fun, but, like, I didn't think it would get to a point where, like, you're doing that at Florida because you should be in the game or the game should be close. But, like, the game was over and the fans were just like, yo, let's all go up to the top of the student section, take our shirts off and wave them around. It was probably the most fun I had Saturday night, was watching the fan base come together just to wave their shirts around their head. The best entertainment Saturday night. That's a tough scene.
There was a moment there's a moment in the first half when I'm watching the game and we just were struggling to get a first down. And like that building is always waiting. Just shout out to the fans though. That building is always waiting. Just any moment to cheer, bro. Like, you know, Twitter's one thing, but in real life, like Gator fans are very loyal. We're going to pack that stadium, you know, out each and every week, man. That's just good to see from a support standpoint. But when we got that first down, it took us a while to get the first down, and the building kind of just started sarcastically cheering. Like, it was time for me to log off, man. I was just like, bro, we struggling to get a first down, man. Like, anywho, but I thought that was a cool moment, bro. Like, rough game to watch, though. Like, I hate Tennessee with a passion. To watch that cream sickle, toothless bunch come into our building to get that win, man, it was tough.
Before we switch to the defense, Corey, Dan's not here, obviously. I forgot to throw it to our first ad read after our weekend talk. Right. Tell them about Greg.
I got you, man. One time for the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured from the panhandle to the keys, my man Greg is the best of the best and can save you some money, I promise you. I'm a client of Greg's. He's been insuring my home for a good 6-7 years. Make sure y'all tap in with him. It don't cost nothing to save money. Bruntinsurance.com or 954-589-2204. Big coverage, big policies.
Greg, what it do, baby? And we're going to go right back into it because of the bourbon. I don't know if you should drink 30 ounces of bourbon, but I can tell you what. our guys at Game Time Sidekicks make the best cups in the land. I have mine every day, and I love my Stadium and Gale. I think they only made that for us. You can use code STADIUM15 for 15% off. The owner is a Gator fan living up in Knoxville, Tennessee. So do him a favor. Help our guy Trey out. Order some cups. It's going to be a long year for him up in Knoxville. Again, that's Stadium 15. Get yourself, save yourself some money at checkout. Flipping over to the defensive side of the ball. We'll start with Cormani McClain. No designation, no real clarity on what the injury was, but I think they gave a pretty good close-up of them doing a stability test on his knee. Just hate to see that. I don't know that he wanted to turn pro or was planning on turning pro at the end of the year, but to have an injury where you have to get carted off, they carted him off between the first and second quarter. He came out after halftime on crutches. Hate to see that for Cormani, someone who I think had played well, had some moments where he played really well, had some moments that was off, but someone who really took care and matured off the field to start playing on the field. So tough to see him go down like that against Tennessee.
Yeah, I think his overall play has been solid this year. But I do think he has some improvement to do. I like the improvement that he did make, and, you know, from a maturity standpoint, how he's grown. But he definitely got to shore up his tackling a little bit before he's ready to go pro. So, you know, well wishes and blessings to his recovery. We'll find out what the diagnosis is of that injury. But I do think he needs to come back regardless. I don't think he's pro ready. You know, he missed a couple tackles this past game that we just saw. So, coverage-wise, I think he's gotten better. I think some zone recognition and things like that he need to improve on. And man coverage, I think he's solid. That's what he thrive at. But I think there's a lot he need to fix on his game. And, you know, the way they get paid in college football now, there's no reason to take a chance on going pro and going undrafted, right? All right, just stay in college, get that check, and vibe out, have some fun with a new coach.
Yeah, man, I feel like he had a pretty decent game. Like you said, it was definitely some plays he could have came up and stuck his nose up in there and just been more physical in the run game overall. But I wasn't really focused on the DBs, even though they was having their way with those guys. I wasn't truly impressed with the defense. I felt like they just didn't play physical enough. You know, I feel like all year we were kind of physical and kind of dominating the line of scrimmage defensively. And I just feel like I didn't see that this past game. I felt like they kind of was able to do what they want with us. And I guess you can kind of sort of blame that, not to pick back on the offense, but you can kind of blame it on the offense. You know, we're not – our time of possession was really low. Guys are probably gassed going back on the field three and out after three and out. So it was just showing, man. They were being able to do what they wanted with us, and I wasn't liking that out of our defense. It's not like them. So I wasn't impressed overall. The defensive line, linebackers, everybody was looking very average.
Let me look at this. Florida went three and out, six plays, 21 yards, 2 minutes, five plays, 14 yards, 159. The first four drives were 17 plays.
And that's exactly like why they scored 31 points.
Yeah. Shout out to Josh Heupel. Don't know what kind of mood he was in, but like up whatever it was at halftime, he's like, you know what? That's good enough. That's good enough. We're just going to run the ball because, like, that game, honestly, not that Tennessee fans need any clips from us, but, like, that game could have been worse.
Yeah, they really could have made. They could have dropped 50 easily.
Like, they just kind of just called the dogs off. as somebody who was sitting there stuck at the stadium, when we had our – when Florida goes – what was that, touchdown drive or the punt? Yeah, the touchdown drive in the third. That was 13 plays, 71 yards, 8 minutes, and we're just running the ball down 30. I'm like, you know what? I appreciate this. Let's just
– let's all get out of here.
We're not doing a running clock because that would be embarrassing, but you're kind of manufacturing a running clock.
And
we accept. We made a lot about Caleb Banks coming back, and I think maybe we didn't talk enough about, like, hey, you're not in football shape. You were hurt. You missed all of fall camp, really. You only played in one game, and then you sat out from September. Yeah. Until this game. Like, first off, hats off to you for wanting to come back. You didn't have to. I'm sure your agent didn't want you to.
Yeah,
but, like, hats off for wanting to come back. But, we didn't really see the disruption that we're used to from him. Like, he's got heavy hands, big, strong. He can affect the entire offensive line by getting penetration, by blowing plays up. And at times looked like he was on skates. And I think, like, maybe we just thought, like, hey, this is going to be – a cure-all medicine that we just take it, and then all of a sudden the defense is going to be better. But much respect for Caleb for coming back. But overall, just like Tennessee is able to get the ball out fast, and this is probably not the offense. If you've been out for a while, not the offense you want to be reintroduced to. Because we were talking before this. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to like type what happened on a play, and I look up, and the next play is already over. Tennessee was moving fast up front defensively. I don't think you got a lot of pressure on Joey Aguilar, and then I think that affects the rest of the defense going forward. And then they're just picking the defense apart, like quick passes, deep passes, everything seemed open.
Yeah, they got to do what they want. And like we said, I kind of felt like I've seen that happen all year. A lot of teams just really couldn't connect, and sometimes we were there to kind of make a play on them, but it was always there on the back end to where we letting dudes get behind us. So with a team like this who's scoring over 35 points a game, I mean, that was a tough one to watch, man. I think everybody was just in hopes that we would just see a better offense out of us to kind of compete and make it a game. But, yeah, just unfortunate.
Go ahead and mute. Mute. Oh, what else do we got to talk about this game, Jordan? Are you ready to put it to bed?
Yeah, I'm looking on some teams. But that for like we punted a whole lot. How did that go? They didn't punt a whole lot, huh?
No need to talk about the punter. Special teams. Trace Mack missed his first field goal since week one. Missed a 38 yarder for a while. Were you worried about the scoring streak?
For a little second. It got me kind of worried, but I kind of felt like we were kind of shooting ourselves in the foot offensively each drive on like head plays. I wasn't like totally checked out. It's like, okay, we still are able to like make up a drive. It was just every other time we had to do some BS, whether playing behind the stick or two bad play calls and then one good one on third down, which is not a mute.
Got him.
Yeah, overall, yeah. This is a sticky one, man. It's a tough one to watch in the swamp. For everybody who purchased tickets and spent your hard-earned money out there, man, I apologize in advance. Sorry to everybody for the hassle. I'm glad everybody's still Gators. We still love y'all for coming out and supporting them, boys.
What do you think this week? Yeah, let's put the Tennessee to bed. We'll probably wrap up here early. earlier than normal. Tommy Doman, four punts, 156 yards, 39 average, hit a long of 45, a couple that weren't great. I've never seen this before in my life, and this is when I knew it was cooked. Coming out of half, Florida's getting the ball. Ball's kicked. Jaden Ball kind of like throws his arms up for fair catch.
Yeah.
The ball lands at the one. Normally, you like you plant your feet at the goal line, and if you're looking up, fair catch. The ball goes over your head. It's in the end zone. The ball starts at the one. Like, I'm like, yo, the game is absolutely cooked. The football gods have decided the end of this game already. I've never seen that before in my life. Like, I don't know if you're a kicker, if you're coach, like, hey, try to hang it up and leave it at the one. If that's how he was coached, my guy, hats off to you. Salute. I've never seen it. A ball land at the one. Jaden Ball was like talking to the ref. Like, what are you talking about? I called fair catch. It's a fair catch. He's like, no, you didn't catch it.
Damn, man. Yeah, that's tough.
And that was two back-to-back drives that started at the one there. Just an overall forgettable performance that we can now move on from. What do you think the crowd – I think it's 17 straight sellouts or 18 straight sellouts. Do you think we'll get another one for Florida State? Florida State looking to go bowling. Also, shout-out to Tomahawk Nation. Never thought I'd say that. Great story today on just how broke Florida State is. Trying to explain why Mike Norvell is coming back.
Yes, I saw that.
And I knew it was bad when I saw a couple of FSU writers being like, what do you mean Lane Kiffin's being offered NIL money for every year? That's not just the rev share that's doing it. I'm like, oh, buddy, you guys are – this is a different kind of broke. They were worrying about SNAP benefits coming back over in Tallahassee.
That's crazy.
What do you think the crowd will be like 2 days after Thanksgiving –
we'll get close to selling out only because a lot of people, like, especially for that game right there, a lot of people purchased those tickets way in advance, so like obviously we're crappy now, they probably spent way more money on it than they would have now, but like a lot of people will still show up just because like it does a rivalry.
Do you have a favorite Florida State memory as a player?
I would have to say it was my last one against them for sure. But before that, Dalvin was Dalvining. Yeah. But yeah. My last one, I got to get a little piece of him. And I knew a couple guys on the team. So I was able to talk my smack and kind of get it off my chest of all the years I had to take the L.
What is that like as a player? Because especially these in-state rivalries, it's a lot of guys that you know. Growing up, and we keep seeing more and more of that. Like, old heads talk about it in the NBA, like everyone's dapping each other up, and then you see like highlights from like the 80s. Michael Jordan's like, yeah, I don't talk to them. Like, we don't talk to anyone. What is it like? Is it trash talk leading up to the game, friendly before the game, friendly after the game? What's it like?
Yeah, we definitely before the game would talk smack. And I think for me, it was a little bit different because a lot of them were like my old high school teammates. So, or just guys that I turned out with in South Florida for a long time in like offseason training. So we were like real cool outside of just football. We would definitely talk smack. I'm always saying, I'm going to run you over, man. You better not come by me type stuff. You know what I'm saying? So we'll definitely talk smack. And like, especially in game, especially if it's some defensive guys, I talk smack. Try to give me a little, as a running back, I want to give me a little chip in here and there, try to give me a little cheap shot. But yeah, pretty much it. I try to sneak and get as much bragging rights as I can, you know, because the guy's always going to be the guy. And I can always remind them when I put them on their behind.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one. Florida hopefully shows up. Back to back rivalry games, like Corey was saying before. But it would be nice to keep them not bowl eligible.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you're playing for other than pride this week. I do want to highlight before we get out of here, Jordan, we're running here, the Friday schedule. So we got three NFL games on Thanksgiving. So they moved the Friday schedule. Noon Egg Bowl, Mississippi State, Ole Miss. I think 3:30 is Georgia Tech. And then Texas A&M. That rivalry gets renewed now that Texas is back in the SEC. The Friday night special. just an elite day of SEC football.
Yeah, that's going to be some good ball being played right there. I wouldn't be surprised in a crazy upset. Just letting the people know from now, watch out with your betting people, because that day will get sticky for no reason.
Interesting. Yeah, like Brent Key at Georgia Tech, they were in a headlock to be. I think they were down like 21-0 after the first quarter. Would love to see them play spoiler against Georgia. The Egg Bowl will have three different fan bases tuning in, if not the entire SEC. Everyone will be watching Lane Kiffin. I watched his press conference today, and he opens up saying, and I'll give you a little like on the inside as a reporter. So they open up saying, like, we're only answering questions about this game. We're only answering questions about the Egg Bowl. And as a reporter, you're like, cool. I guess like in Mississippi, like that is the Super Bowl. There are no professional teams there. You are a fan of one of the two. That's it. And the reporters are like, hey, are you going to be back? He's like, fair question, but we're only answering questions about the Egg Bowl. I think he did mention, you know, about 4 weeks ago when they were talking about Brent Venables getting fired and how big of a distraction that was, and they've ripped off four straight wins. But I know that there will be a bunch of people. The Nielsen ratings, the Nielsen TV ratings will be huge in Baton Rouge, Florida, and Mississippi.
That's a fact.
For that game, like the Egg Bowl. We'll do a picks for those on Friday for our Friday show. But what do you expect? We got the note, the graphic from Ole Miss from Keith, their AD. What did you make? Did you see it?
Mm-mm.
So they released a graphic saying that we and Coach Kiffin will have a statement after the Egg Bowl. I read it, read very much like he gone, but we will have a statement or something from Ole Miss Saturday after the Egg Bowl.
That's crazy. It must be finalized by now. They're just holding it out to them. Like, they got to know that he's not staying. Not trying to get into the whole Lane talk, but like at this rate that he's at your school, that he hasn't just silenced all the noise and been like, this is my team. We're on the playoff run right now. He has to be getting up out of there.
Yeah, and maybe like this has been my read on it. Like him talking about like we're in the good days and like we're in the good old days right now. It's almost like he's trying to tell like Ole Miss fans being like, hey, you're really worried about me and what I'm going to do next year. You're missing out on like how fun this season is. And
right.
Like, part of me wants to be like, yeah, but if you were staying, you could just tell them you're staying. And then they wouldn't be worrying about it. And then they wouldn't
they'll be right for this season. They just can't enjoy this season knowing that you're about to leave them. Because reality is, I don't think they're good enough to win it all, even make it far, to be honest. Like, and I think they know that as well.
Could you imagine that if you were going through a 10-win season and the only questions you're getting in the media are like, hey, you think your coach is going to be back next year? And you're like, my guy, we won 10.
Right.
We won 10, and we're playing Florida State on Saturday. And you're asking me if my guy, like, that's got to be a distraction.
Nah, it definitely is. And it's annoying as hell, too. I feel like, oh, poor kids. But, I mean, this is the life they deal with now. They're technically professionals now, so you got to be okay with all the BS that comes with all this new money. Like, it is. It's just the world we live in nowadays, to be honest.
All right, we got one question. Then we're going to get out of here, Jordan. We'll come back. Yeah. Dan's the real quarterback of the show. who hit you the hardest while playing at Florida?
Ooh.
Who got their crack?
I would say the hardest would probably have to be Antonio Morrison, because that's such a funny story. So he hit me one day in practice during team running. Like, when I got up, I like felt my nose hurt. I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, there's no way this man just made my face mask hit my nose. Like, how hard he fucking hit me. But yeah, he did that. And my nose had a little bruise on it because my nose hit my face mask. I don't know if it's because my nose is too big or he actually hit me that hard that it came that close. But it did.
Antonio?
Yeah, Antonio Morrison. But who kind of knocked me the farthest and made me fly one time was funny was Bullard, because I was trolling them all. Practice long, telling him he not like that. Like, you too big, you really too stiff. You should be inside. This is when he started playing end a little bit. So I used to tease him that, bro, you can't play out there. Get your behind back inside. I was like, all right, don't play with me now, young buck. I used to just tease him and Cox for it, because Cox, you know, he's a St. Thomas guy. So I used to really just troll Cox, and then he'll chime in, and then I'll just be in the talking smack to both of them. But yeah, one day he knocked me. Oh my God, he took it. I flew for literally, I want to say it was like an outside zone play. You know how they put like the yard markers, the little 10, 20s? Those are like 5 yards outside of where the line is in practice. I was outside of the marker by the time I hit the ground.
You saw one, you're like, oh, hey, what's that?
Well, I was like, oh, shit. But it was a good time, man. There's nothing better than getting better with the boys and always competing every day.
That's funny. The Antonio Morrison, I remember he got into a little bit of trouble, like back to back. One of them was ridiculous, but then they make him come out for media. I don't know if you remember this tattoo. He had a tattoo on his forearm that said, like, don't trust me. And I remember sitting there after he'd been arrested for like breaking a bouncer's jaw, trying to get into the hookah lounge, and then arrested while out on bail for that, for barking at a police dog, for a cop who was writing a ticket for somebody else, and they tried him out to the media, and I'm standing there interviewing him with a bunch of people, and I'm reading his tattoo. I'm like, I don't think you needed to tell us. Like, yeah, we didn't need the advertisement.
I did not need to know. I already know.
Yeah, no, nope, certainly don't. Certainly don't.
He was a wild one, though.
Yeah, he was fierce. Yes,
he was actually like a cool guy if you got to know him, but if he didn't like you, you better just watch out of the way, because he's not somebody you want to play around with or even talk smack to be honest.
Yeah, it was his Senior Bowl, and I brought him over to a donor that I knew that was in Mobile, and I was like, hey, this donor wants to meet you. Can you come over and just say hi to him? He's like, donor? I'm like, yeah. He goes, he writes checks for us? Yeah. He walks over and he starts listing off, we don't have hot water, this toilet. I mean, he just starts listing, airing grievances to a guy that just writes checks. I'm like, I don't even know if you said hello. My name's Antonio. He just started rattling off, but that was him. That was him. He was a linebacker on and off the field.
He was always, I'm about to say, he was always himself. That's one thing I'd give to him, no matter who you were.
All right, Jordan, we're going to go watch Monday Night Football.
Straight up.
All right, we will be back Friday for our show. Sorry for the late start and the short episode. We got Wi-Fi issues. We got Dan's drinking beer in Germany, living his best life. Jordan and I are just trying to forget about Tennessee. But we appreciate you all for being here, and we will see you Friday.
See y'all.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.